This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
How's it going, party people? The place to be. Welcome back to Nerds from the Underground. I'm Johnny from Graphic Vandalism, and with me is...
Fred Omega.
Fred Omega. That's awesome. We got Johnny Alpha and Fred Omega. Pow, pow.
See what I did there?
Oh, I love it. Plus, like, Kenny Omega's my favorite, one of my favorite, like, white man wrestlers, so that's kind of cool that you went with Omega too, because like I kind of have affinity for people with that last name.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Kenny so much. I'm more of a Chris Jericho fan, so he's actually the Alpha Chris Jericho, so that's why.
Is Jericho in New Japan now?
He does do shows there, but they're both in AEW now.
I don't know. They,
AEW? Oh, dude, you got to watch that. Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock. That's AEW. It's like Cody Rhodes. All the guys, Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, are all on there. Kenny and them all own their own stuff.
What about Naito? Is Naito on there?
No, he's in New Japan. But you can listen to all that kind of stuff on the Indie Alley podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys Sweet cover blood. All that wrestling. I kind of only got to watch it when I... And I have nothing better to do.
Right. Wrestling's real. People are fake. Remember that.
So what do we got on the table tonight, Fredward?
Tonight we have Demonic by Christopher Sabella, one of the greatest writers that are out there. And speaking of one of the greatest, probably top five in my book, BKV with Paper Girls, Brian K. Vaughan.
Right. The big man himself. The Saga Maker.
Yeah.
So you ready to jump right on in?
Hell yeah, let's do it.
All right, first up we have Demonic, written by Christopher Sabella, with art by Nico Walter. Dan Brown does the colors. Sal Caprino is the letterer. Sean Minkowitz is the editor. And Ariel Bashix is the assistant editor. All right, Detective Scott Graves will do anything to protect his family, even bargain his soul away. Now the only thing left to fear isn't New York's worst criminals, but what's already raging inside of him. After all, that what is the cost of your soul when it's already damaged?
This book, man, I'm glad that you chose this book because, I never read it, and I've read almost all of Sabella's work except for this, and maybe, what's the first one, High Crimes, Heartthrob, is that, did he do Heartthrob?
Yeah, Heartthrob is the one that he did that's kind of like Gail Simone's Crosswind. It's got basically the same story, but it's the more funny version of it, mm-hmm. Which is funny because you don't think of Christopher Sabella as being too very funny if you read most of his works, but
right. Yeah,
he kind of... Yeah, Heartthrob is one of his. This is tragically his most slept on book, which kind of makes me sad because it's badass, dude. It's really good. I think because it came out around the same time as Killer Be Killed, and it's somewhat similar, it kind of got its nuts stepped on, and that kind of makes me sad. You know what I mean? Like, do you feel that same way?
Yeah, it does. Well, yeah, because I mean, it's up there with Killer Be Killed. Maybe. This only made it to one trade. Killer Be Killed made, what, three, six, five trades?
Five. There's five volumes of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but this right here, man, the story here and, like, the own personal hell that Scott Graves goes through because he was raised up in a cult, and to, like, go after that cult and kind of kill him off to kill, was it 76? He had to take down 76 casualties on the way?
Yeah, he needed to deliver that many souls to be able to complete his contract to save his daughter who is sick, because he was raised in a cult and he kind of has had this demon following him around the entire time, kind of making deals with him this entire time, but he kind of never listened until it was, you know, there was something he really needed to do. And it was kind of cool the way it turned out, because he's like, okay, cool, yeah, no, I'll kill this number of people for you, but guess what? I'm gonna go kill the cult that raised me. And it's just so well done. It's very noir. It's very, very kind of hard noir too, not even very pulpy, while at the same time being like very slasher movie style. Right. Like the gore and the horror in it's done particularly well. There's even a little bit of superhero type elements and parts of it, which is kind of cool, because like Kill or Be Killed, they kind of leave it up to your imagination if this guy's really working with a demon or if he's just crazy. This one just goes ahead and lets you be like, yeah, dude, this guy's got supernatural powers. This guy's legit got some devil shit working with him. So it's similar but different, and I wish I could quit comparing the two, because it's not fair.
It's funny, because I've heard those comparisons quite a lot between the both of the books, but I will say, Sabella's, like, you know, if you read anything Sabella, it's going to be dialogue heavy, and you're going to get a lot of word bubbles. But that's because it's his style. Like, he's very thorough. That's what I like about him, and like for him to take us from, like, you know, the corrupt policemen to the Colts, that's a football team, and you know, with plenty of action, and there's a lot of bloodshed in this book, it's amazing. I think at the end, I'd never seen that coming. Mr. Belly, I didn't think that was Mr. Belly. I thought Mr. Belly was stuffed animal. I thought Mr. Belly was, you know, something else, or maybe just her stomach. And then when I saw Mr. Belly, I'm like, oh fuck, this is in the family. But you right. know, but I was like, wow, you know, the grittiness of the art and the darkness of it kind of like helped it out. It had like an old school feel to me, which I enjoyed too. There were points that some of the characters I couldn't tell, like I would have to look at it a little longer to make sure I knew who was in there. But I mean, other than that, it was a great book. I enjoyed it a lot. And wasn't it like Robert Kirkman's idea to do this book? Was that who started this?
I'm not sure if he started it. I know that Robert Kirkman is one of the masterminds behind like what Image being the greatness that it is right now. He kind of green lights all the really neat books that they do for Eric Stevenson. So he did have a hand in it. I'm not sure if he kind of helped come up with the story, because I don't think Sabella needs help writing. I mean, like, I never think that he would, because right off the bat with like High Crimes, the dude fucking sweats talent. So, and here he's on his top form. You know, he's, like you said, he's wordy as hell. Like, his wordiness is there. So I think he would be kind of one of those guys that, like, if he was given something and were like, hey, I have this idea, but you finish it for me. I don't know, but I kind of get the feeling that he wouldn't be so into it and might half-ass it a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have. You know what I mean? So
the only reason why I asked was because, you know, his horror style is kind of like 70s horror. And that's what I got from this book, was like, it felt like it would took place in like a setting around then. And I thought that, you know, those were the type of movies that would scare the shit out of me as a kid. So I'm just going to keep it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, to feel it like it is like a 70s slasher horror movie.
Right.
But, about like the character, when he wears like the mask and stuff, and he's kind of got like the Freddy Krueger like Wolverine claws, and kind of looks like I want to say Shredder from the Ninja Turtles, you know, where he has like the mask and the cape and things like that. That's the vibe I got from it, and I thought that was really cool. The relationship with his family, how like he turns it on and off, like, you know, he just gets back from killing, like, I don't know, 20-some people, and all of a sudden he's, like, you know, kissy-kissy with his family, eating dinner at the table, just discussing the day.
Right,
I thought like, living two different lives, I thought that was really interesting. And to find out, like, the one policeman, I can't think of his name, the detective, you know, to find out who he becomes and how he reacts throughout this, you know, it's a great book, man. I'm glad, like I mentioned before, that you came up with the idea of doing this book, and I'm glad that I got to read it, because man, it's really good.
Oh yeah, I always try to bring it up, especially with people I know that like Sabella, because for some reason, like this one and Dead Letters is one that like most people have never checked out, and it's kind of sad to me because they're, in my opinion, two of his most impressive earlier works. I mean, like the guy is just going up and up. I don't think he's gonna have a bad book anytime soon, but like he's also got these just wonderful books in his past like this that I don't think really deserve to be slept on because I think this book's brutal. I think it's badass, and yeah, it's got some good emotional content too. It blends both really good noir with slasher horror. There's even some Italian giallo shit in there, so it's all around good stuff in my opinion. So I'm really happy you enjoyed it, and I'm really happy we got to cover it.
Hell yeah. I think we killed it all. Not 76 times, but almost there.
All right, you ready to get into the next one?
Oh yeah.
All right, next up we have the one and only Paper Girls, written by Brian K. Vaughan, with art by Cliff Chang, colors by Matt Wilson, and lettered by Jared K. Fletcher. All right, from Brian K. Vaughan, number one New York Times best-selling writer of Saga, and Cliff Chang, a legendary artist of Wonder Woman, comes the first volume of an all-new ongoing adventure. In the early hours after Halloween of 1988, four 12-year-old newspaper delivery girls uncover the most important story of all time. Suburban drama and supernatural mysteries collide in this smash hit series all about nostalgia, first jobs, and last days of childhood.
Dude, this is okay. First of all, there's two rules I live by. Read everything Jeff Lemire writes, and the second rule, read everything Brian K. Vaughan writes, and you'll never go wrong. Brian K. Vaughan killed it on this book. Probably one of my top five titles of all time, in my opinion. I get like, didn't Paper Girls come out before? Four, shit, I forgot the name of the show.
Stranger Things? Yes, it
Yes,
did.
Stranger
Because
Things.
I remember reading the first couple issues of it when that came out, and then when Stranger Things came on, the reason why I started liking it immediately is because I was like, "Hey, man, this reminds me so much of Paper Girls. This is cool."
It's a, and what I like about it is both the TV show and this book has a lot of like pop culture references, whether it's like, the Monster Squad poster on a wall, or for
Kids
instance,
dressed as Freddy for Halloween.
or like that sick burn that the girl claims that one kid looks like Rocky, or the bad guys in this. They assume that they're bad guys, but they have deformed faces, and she calls him like Rocky Dennison from like Mask, and I was like, oh shit. Okay, now we're talking about everything. Like BKV's talking about everything from my, upbringing, like from middle or grade school up, like things that I knew about, like the Bush Dukakis race, or things like that. And I thought that was really interesting, and I really liked that he did it with like four girls. It was four, right? Four of them. Yeah.
Yeah, there's four girls.
Four girls, and three of them are basically like Catholic schoolgirls, goody two shoes, things like that. And then you get Mac, who's like a total badass. She just says whatever she thinks. She smokes. She does it all. And
Oh yeah, she's like, oh man, I remember reading the first issue and like they're rolling up and the dudes are hassling him and she's just like, "What's the matter with you AIDS patients?" And like I was just like, "Whoa, you can't say that in a comic anymore." And I was like, "Wow." I thought it was hilarious, but I was just kind of like, "Whoa, damn."
And then one of the girls like corrects her on like the next page or something and says you can't do that, and it gives the reasons, because I think she was suggesting that they were gay in the beginning.
Back then, there was like a weird kind of understanding that only gay people got AIDS.
Right.
Like it was kind of a misunderstanding that people had at the time.
Yeah, so it totally got the vibe of that from that era, you know what I'm saying? Like it's really real. And the thing that another thing that I really like about this book, because I don't want to spoil a lot of it, like it has a lot of sci-fi elements and things like that, but like the colors, a lot of pinks, purples, things like that, Maybe it's because there's four girls in it that they chose like that color palette. I don't know, but it's done so well.
They're 80s colors, man. Like, I mean, if you think about it, like
Oh
you got the
yeah.
Miami Vice type coloring,
That's true.
mixed with. I mean, it's kind of, if you look back and you remember from the 80s, not very many things were actually colored that. But through the lens of nostalgia bait and all the stuff we've gotten from so far, like, for some reason, like, very pastel, loud colors are connected to the 80s. So they kind of just had fun with that and kind of mixed and matched. And they made a comic that just completely pops. I mean, it's vivid. It's just very lovely and loud to look at because everything on the page is screaming at you because the color palette's just bright. No offense or buts about that.
It's a great book, man. Like there's so much and there's so much more to discover after the first volume, but it's so good. I highly suggest if you like Stranger Things and you're gonna love this. It's everything like it except they don't play D&D.
And it doesn't go horror. It's kind of more like a odd sci-fi. It kind of goes more in like a Buckaroo Banzai way instead into some kind of H.P. Lovecraft style that Stranger Things did. So it, and then you also get a lot of time play with this. You get like different versions of the characters. So I would say that I would after aside from like this the first impressions that you get. It's really not too much to compare it to Stranger Things after a while. You know what I mean? After like they kind of find the thing and get pulled
That's
into
it.
the other universe, it kind of just.
Right. I think like in the beginning you get that vibe because they're all on bicycles, right? You know what I'm
And
saying?
walk and they got walkie-talkies, man.
Yeah, there
That's
it is. And
the walkie-talkies, man. That's what makes it.
then like the sheriff shows up. As
Right.
you get that stuff, but yeah, it's a great book. There's so much things like the dialogue, how each character is written is done so well, and then the farther and the more you get into it, like it just gets all like wacky, but it's like a good wacky.
It starts off wacky with the chick's weird dream about like the Challenger astronaut talking to her and stuff like that. Like you're just kind of like, what? Well, okay, that's random as hell, but I love it. You know what I mean? Because
Right.
and then you get the Ronald Reagan dream, and
Yep.
it's you know what I mean? And it just keeps going. And like I said, like it's got like like Buckaroo Banzai and all that kind of really weird 80s sci-fi stuff to it, which if you're a fan of that kind of goofball sci-fi stuff, like you'll feel right at home with this. This is, I mean, because it's not like something that's going trying to be like nostalgia baity, like, hey, remember this? And then kind of show you something generic, like Ready Player One did. Like this book actually, like you said, that they go out of their way to actually reference true things that are kind of underground or kind of forgotten about from the 80s, like Mask. I haven't heard anybody reference the movie Mask in forever. You know what I mean? Aside from like maybe making fun of Eric Stoltz. So,
That's what's crazy is like that's my first experience, I think, of Sam Elliott. You always think of Sam Elliott as like
badass. You think
yeah,
of him in
like
Roadhouse or as a
or
cowboy.
right or like Wyatt Earp. Didn't he play like did he play no he didn't play Wyatt Earp. He
He
played
was Wyatt Earp's brother, I think Morgan in Tombstone, but he was up in there.
Right. And just like and then with match with like Cher and man that I remember that movie a lot. I swear it was on so much when I was a
Oh
kid.
God. Yeah, if you had HBO like back in like the 80s, like Mask was on all the time. That La Bamba, like Rocky IV, like those were like the movies you were bound to like always see
Dude,
if like you had.
Rocky Ford, man, all those Rocky movies are going to be playing this weekend, man. It's Thanksgiving weekend, or well, this one we're recording it, but you're going to see that all the time now.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like saying, like I remember like 'cause I never had cable, like they didn't have it up where I grew up, but like when I'd go visit my grandma, she'd have it. And like every time I was there, like, yeah, maybe like Mask and like La Bamba, Rocky IV was always
Right.
on fucking HBO, man.
There's a,
I swear
there's
to God.
there's something about like that movie like Mask where I remember he always had like a map of the United States, and there was pushpins, or maybe it was the world, and there's pushpins everywhere where he wanted to go. And Cher knows that he passed away and stuff, and she's like, "You want to fucking go here, Rocky? You want to go here, Rocky? We'll take you here." And that's stuck with me like all these years, and that's many years for people that don't understand that this has stuck with me. But yeah, man. And another crazy thing is we talked about this maybe a week ago, and my cell phone had a picture of him on there and an ad. So I know my freaking cell phone is listening to me. I got you guys.
Yeah, Pinterest, if you have pin I mean not Pinterest, Instagram, if you have Instagram on your phone, like it listens to you from what I've heard. That they won't admit to it, but that's what everybody says, like Instagram like spies on you, and it's what gets you those crappy ads all over the place.
Yeah, it was like, where is he now? And I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, didn't you see the movie? He died on the
That's
beach. He died on
not,
the beach, lady.
yeah, I was like, that's not even the real dude. It's not what he looks like. But this is a great book. There's a lot of good things. Cliff Chang's art, the lettering by Jerry Clay Fletcher, everything. His total package is amazing. And like when I first got this, the first trade, I bought the next two because I loved it so much that I had to just keep going because it just hit me, man. It's BKV. I mean,
Man, I gotta think like you guys do, man, and kind of start reading these when there's a couple books out for it, because like I start like, I get the first issue and then I wait for the first trade, and then I gotta wait for the next trade, and like I every time when I get to the end of the trade, it's like hitting a wall, and like
yeah.
it sucks, you know what I mean? But yeah, like
You
I don't know,
gotta get
eventually
those
you ended
longer
up hitting
run
that wall.
ones.
Yeah, eventually you end up hitting the wall too, though. I feel like if you start with there's like three trades and you read the first one and really like it, or the next two, you're reading them motherfuckers as soon as they get there, so.
Yeah, that's how I do it. That's how I'm gonna do it with the rest of the Deadly Class run. I'm holding off for the next two. I'm just gonna wait for the one that just recently came out and the other one because I want to do them back to back. I don't want to even know what happens.
Yeah, well, I mean. We just there it's just starting this new year with these next two books, so it's going to be kind of slow going, so it's going to be interesting, but it's not going to be like the explosive arcs anyway, so like it might be a kind of a safe way to read them, because like when they start the new school year in Deadly Class, it kind of always, I don't know, I'm not going to say hit the skids, but it, you know what I mean, it takes a while to get to the point where you got ninjas and big Russian guys with machine guns all running and jumping out of windows together and stuff, and it gets really explosive.
Yeah, they gotta flesh out some characters first.
Right, but yeah, dude, like I can't not read Deadly Class when it comes out. That's like my second favorite comic and that's running right now, so
But your
like a
first
cra
favorite is Paper Girls?
no, East of West, which is only one
Oh.
trade left, which after that ends, I guess Deadly Class will be my favorite.
There it is. There it is. Yeah, so I mean, these are great books. Man, it's been a good week of reading.
Oh yeah, especially for me. I got the all four of the new TKO books for free, for so I can read and review them from TKO. So it's been an amazing week of reading for me, man. I love me some free books, especially free books that kick as much ass as those four did. Woo woo!
Sound effects and everything. But you got anything to add to this one?
Yeah, read it. Read all five or six trades of it. It's really fun. It gets really kooky. Actually, it starts really kooky, so you shouldn't be surprised, but it gets even crazier. And like you said, man, it's BKV. This is must read stuff. I actually I'm gonna don't at me, but I actually prefer this book to Saga. Slightly. I'm not gonna say like by a great margin or something, but like I kind of get a little more enjoyment because this book never completely breaks my goddamn heart every two books like Saga does, so.
That's true. That is very true. That they just wipe them all out.
Yeah, dude, book 7 and then book 9, I'm just like, oh fuck you guys, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
And then like after book 9, they're like, oh, we're gonna take a year-long break. I'm like,
Yeah.
really? After you do this to me, you're gonna take a year off.
Yeah. So I have to
You're
think
paying
about it.
you're paying for my psychiatrist bills, Brian. That's all I'm telling you.
That's messed up.
I'm sending you my bills.
That is messed up. But you can find me at Comics Fred. You can find Johnny at.
Oh, at Johnny Alpha 81 and Graphic Vandalism on YouTube. That is my channel name.
Yes, and you can find the podcast at Nerds from the Underground. You can also find us at nerdylegion.com, where we are under the banner of Indie Alley, which is the wrestling podcast that we spoke about just a bit earlier in this episode. And I guess might as well hit the road so we don't hate if you trade weight. We out.